Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes we get carried away with so many things, wonderful, powerful truths. And yet actually, sometimes the people whom we are talking to still need to understand basics, absolute basics. So sometimes there is a need to go back to basics. And I am going to be doing that on radio, and all of you should listen, because you think you know, but your results don't prove that you know. Amen? Yes. There are very few people who are moving at the pace that I expect them to move. And it's not up to something that is supposed to happen, that you're waiting to happen. No, it has absolutely nothing to do with any external factor apart from yourself. And perhaps you've gotten carried away with big things and forgotten the basics, and that is the reason why you are not manifesting the way you are. So now today we are going to go back to basics. We have gone back to P1, okay? And just listen like you've not heard anything I've said before. Because the fact that, let's say, somebody can be here and in 3 years, nothing has changed about their life, they are not manifesting at any level that is different from what they were before, shows that there is something wrong with you. And even 1 year should be enough to get you concerned. How come I'm not improving at the rate I am? But then you go 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, no real, like, something that you can put a finger on and say, at the beginning of this year, I was this, now I'm this. Very little. So now we have to go back to absolute basics. Praise the Lord. If you go to 3 John, now pretend as if you don't know these scriptures. You go to 3 John verse 2. It says, go to King James Version. Now you see, sometimes that's why I have a problem reading the old English. You know, the panteth, the whateth, and whatever else. So sometimes that's why I prefer New King James Version. But sometimes it lets me down. Now, NIV, do you know there are about 20 scriptures it just skips and it doesn't put them there? Should I demonstrate to you? Okay, go to that scripture in Isaiah, which says the yoke will be broken because of the anointing. Isaiah 10:27. And shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Praise the Lord. Now go to NIV. In that day, their burden will be lifted from your shoulders, their yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. Now, how do you even come up with that? Like, it is absolutely... Now, NIV can put things which are totally not there. And by the way, I started suspecting something about them, because every time I go and check on those Bible apps, the best Bible they put in your face is NIV. Then I say, why are you forcing NIV on me? Anyway, that is just one. There are several others. There are some which it even just skips. Now imagine you've grown very fat. Now, they miss out something very powerful, that the yoke breaks because of the anointing. And then so people who are not fat like me, I don't know for us. Anyway, okay, go to 3 John. Verse 2 in King James Version. Okay, let's first go to New King James so that you also see that. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Let's read it again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Now go to the Old King James. Beloved, I wish above all things. Now here, the all things is God saying he wishes above everything else. I want you to imagine God wishing. What's your number one wish? I wish above all things that my children prosper and be in good health, even as their soul prospers. Now, of course, the other one says prosper in all things. When in doubt, go to King James. Okay? Because even New King James mixes things and sometimes messes them up. But because I don't want to read, mayest, prospereth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest. Now, this confuses my head, but still, this is the best translation. The mayest prospereth man. Now, what is prospereth? Anyway, that thou mayest prosper, and then, but actually, the Lord has been telling me, you go to King James. But anyway, that thou may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason we are going back to P1 and why this is absolute P1 is because you have to understand that you prosper, you are in good health, even as your soul prospers. Amen? So your prosperity and your health will always be in commensurate with your soul, whether your soul is prospering or not. Because the soul is, the scripture says that the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. That's where the Lord dwells when somebody gets born again. That's where the Lord dwells. So the spirit is perfect. And when the Bible says that whoever is born of God does not sin because he cannot sin, it's talking about your spirit. You and I know that he's not talking about anything else. Okay? Now, your spirit is perfect. Absolutely perfect. And that's where the candle of God is. Your body is absolutely imperfect. There is nothing good that the body desires. Nothing. It always desires something which is temporal, something which is for instant gratification. That's how it is. That's why Galatians 5:16 says, the spirit wars against the flesh, and the two are opposed to each other. Now, in between there is a soul. Now, you know the soul is your mind, especially, your will, also very important, and also your emotions. Now, when you're dealing with women, it starts with emotions, then will, then mind. When you're dealing with men, it starts with mind, then will, then emotions. Because for some reason, women's emotions are heightened, whereas men want to reason everything out. But for women, if something, I don't feel it, I don't what, then they, you know. But that is all the soul. Now, the realm of manifestation is the soul. If it was the spirit, you would be living the best life there is. But it is not. It is the soul. Now, your soul will determine what kind of life you lead, whether you are prospering or not. That's why he says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. And then, I've spoken before, but we're speaking about it on radio, you are totally responsible for your soul. Completely, totally responsible for your soul. Now, the reason people do not see things to the extent that they are supposed to see them is because they do not take time to feed their soul. So their soul is shrinking, and they expect their wallets to grow bigger. That's a lie. It is never going to happen unless you're going to steal money. But if you're expecting it in this way, our way, the kingdom, that will never happen. Your soul is shrinking, and somehow your wallet is growing bigger. And there are people whom I can see and look at them, and you know this person does not take any time whatsoever to manage their soul and to make their soul prosper. And I've told you previously about other ways to make your soul prosper. But also earlier, I told you that the soul is in need of three things, three important things. The first one is a word. The second one is a song. The third one is a purpose. Now, if you do not, that was a message at some stage, but of course you've forgotten it, okay? But if you actually put it in place and say, what is the word I'm thinking about? Because there is no time when you're not thinking about something. Praise the Lord. There is no time when you are not thinking about something. No, it never happens. Your mind is always active. The question is, what is it active with? Is it active with things which are of benefit or things which have no benefit? I'll give you an example. Sometimes they call me and tell me, you have, let's say, a TV show on Saturday morning. Then they even tell me the subject. But then I know I can't start thinking about TV and politics because I will give that its time. Eh? And now that is even me who is in politics. But now some of you, you can think on something which has annoyed you politically for 1 week straight. And it's not going to benefit you. Maybe it might benefit me a little. But I know that once I concentrate on that, I'm killing something which is supposed to produce the real center of production. I am killing it, getting angry over things which I cannot change until when I get there and I can change them. Okay? So now, when you understand that the soul, you'll know how to think about different things. Now, I studied this long time when I was tired of being broken, you know, all that. So I would even go and watch a match in the night, Champions League. And, you know, I'm passionate about football. So I watch the match and, you know, sometimes my team wins, sometimes it loses. And sometimes I'm in this high emotion, there are times I'm in the other low emotion. But as soon as the match closes, I give myself 15 minutes to forget about the football. Because after that, I would go and start praying. And now, I have to forget about the football. Because if I don't, I'm going to think football the whole night. Can you imagine if the other guy had not passed here and had passed there? They would not have scored us. And by the way, it's very easy to do that. You know that, isn't it? Yeah. But now, that is not benefiting me. But I enjoy the football, so I'll watch it. But when the segment for football is over, now I'm going to things which are productive, which are going to add value to my life. And then I close the football, I exercise mind control. I close the football. If pictures of it come, I close them and deliberately think on something else which I am praying about. And then within 15 minutes, the football is no longer anywhere in my mind. And I can think about it again in the morning. Then I start talking and maybe sending messages to guys. Can you imagine if the coach hadn't started with so-and-so, we would have won the game. Now I've allowed myself to go there. Now, that is the kind of discipline that sometimes it will take for you to decide that there are times for trivial things like football. Of course, you can't be thinking about, you know, all the time. You have to think about, you know, other things which are nice. Watch a movie and so on. Now, there are people, you know, when they watch a movie, they go to bed with the movie. So even they dream about what they watch in the movie. I can't dream about what I watch in the movie. Because when I'm watching the movie, I have given it, if it is 1.5 hours, that's the moment I've given. As soon as the movie ends, that's it. I have no recollection of it whatsoever. And I've enjoyed because I wanted to enjoy it, you see. Eh? But I don't give it extra time and penalties. No. When the 90 minutes are up of the movie, that's it. Now there are people who, you know, go and dream, you know, especially when the movies are, you know, very, you know, touching. Eh? Then they go and dream and they wake up in the morning and say that, man, can you imagine? I dreamt the other man. Eh? But why did the man do this? Eh? I'm looking, saying, it's a movie. Like, what's wrong with you? Now, the thing is this. In Timothy, there's somewhere where he says that, do not strive over words to no profit. Now, I've spoken that thing so many times, eh? But I'm going to say it again. Do not strive over words to no profit. You get us that scripture. Because there's a striving going on in your mind. Every time. You're thinking, but why is this like this? Why is this like this? Why, you know, why I what? You know, thinking on this, on thinking on the other. But now, there's a striving. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Now, there are words which have zero profit, and yet you're going to strive over them, and you don't know you're wasting valuable time. Absolutely valuable time. Yeah. Somebody says something which you don't like, and you don't know your soul is shrinking, but you expect to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul shrinks. It's not going to happen. So, you have to decide, okay, if I think on that, does it have any profit? Is there any profit in it? If not, now, for the fact that he says you do not strive over words to no profit, means they're actually words which have profit, where you strive about them in your mind and think, what does this scripture mean? What is the Lord? How come the Lord says here this and then here appears to say something else? And your soul is feeding in the same way that you would feed a baby. And the soul is feeding, and then eventually your soul prospers. And now when it gets to that, there is nothing in the world that can stop you from seeing what is in your soul. Nothing. There is no force that the enemy can put up to stop your soul from manifesting in actual life. Amen? But what he can do is to stop something from coming from the spirit to your soul by putting up entertainment, what somebody comes and gives you gossip and so on. There's somebody here who came here one day. She's even to be here. She came and told me things. You know, there are people who are... I wish you people knew how dangerous these things are. Eh? There are people who are experts. They know everything that is wrong with everybody. Have you met such people? Eh. then most of them are actually spies. So they give them that software to go and check people's WhatsApps. So they will come even and tell you that, ah, that come later, we know everything he does. How is it benefiting you? You're broke, I'm not. So now, like, you know, you can be stupid. Like, that is the height of stupidity. And now he comes and says, ah, that one, we know his secrets. Okay, now go and cash them. Use my secrets to buy something in the grocery. No, we even know what he does. We even know. Then you look at them and say, you know, me, I'm moving on. And your knowing is not going to stop me from what? Moving on. And now you see, the problem with such people is one of them actually got somebody who was even like part of us ministering and started, you know, giving them doses. If they know everything about everybody here. Even now, the other one, this one, the other one, we know. This one, that one, we know. The other one, we know. Now, this person came to me and was telling me, you know this, I was talking. She didn't tell me who she was talking to, but I knew. So I warned her. I told her, the scripture says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty, what? Trifles. That's what it says in New King James. Tasty trifles or waffles. And it says they go down to the innermost part of the belly. The innermost part of the belly. You look for that scripture, it's in Proverbs. Okay, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. And they go down into the innermost, go to the King James, to the innermost parts of the belly. This is what I wanted. Innermost. They go to the innermost parts of the belly. Now, Jesus also said, John chapter 7, that whoever believes in me, streams of water shall flow out of what? Out of their belly. Speaking about the Holy Spirit. Now, you either choose to have the Holy Spirit in your belly or the words of a talebearer. It's the same belly. You go to John chapter 7 and see. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. Now, for you, out of your belly is flowing gossip. Proverbs says, gossip goes to the innermost part of your belly. Like there where the Holy Spirit is supposed to sit, gossip is there. So when the Holy Spirit tries to come, he finds what? So now, out instead of rivers of living water coming out of your belly, gossip comes. And now, it can give you a sense of, but I'm telling you, people like that, just give them time, you'll see. You do not strive over words to no profit. Don't try to get information which is not going to benefit you. We have a very short time. Why do you want stupid information? Of what benefit is it going to be to you? But, in spite of my warning, that person continued listening to the words, until eventually she left this ministry. Do I miss anything by her going, no, I am still a cablator. Absolutely nothing. But I know what it can do. I know what it can do. So you have to really, when somebody comes with, because let me tell you something. You consider yours. There are people whom they told me things about 20 years ago. Sweet, savory gossip. And every time I see them, 20 years later, the first thing that comes to mind is that. That's why I hate gossip. Can you imagine keeping that for 20 years? If I had kept a serious word for 20 years, it would have given birth to fruit, you understand? But every time you see somebody, you say, and you know I'm not lying. So now, the best thing to do is don't let such a person near you, because they are going to replace rivers of living water with fake things. And then there will be no manifestation. You will be here, say amen, 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 and nothing is going to happen. Because your soul is not prospering. Somebody came and asked me one day, and this is a Munokure who has been to our church, and I know what he was talking about. He told me that, why do Muslims prosper more than Warokore? Some of you are going to say, that's not true, what? Okay. So I didn't answer, because of course I didn't have the time, and I didn't want to start explaining myself. But I'll tell you this. Muslims, when they wake up in the morning, they don't expect that there is a grace which is going to be pursuing them. They don't expect that. They live purely by the worldly system. So he knows if he doesn't wake up in the morning and go and kusubura and what, nothing is going to happen. So he goes and does that. And he lives purely by that system. Now, we have a better system. But that system has its laws. So many people don't follow those laws. But they think that just because they say amen, that somehow things are going to happen. They are not. Everything here takes time. And now, people hate to hear things which actually take time to give birth. But I'm telling you the truth. If something does not take time, it will not take time to go. The reason I can stand sometimes and say that, and I've heard this, you know, all over, where people are trying to do this to make sure that I do not get money because of politics, and they want to control me and they can't control me. And then I stand and say there is nothing Museveni wants that I have. His people are all broke. Let me tell you, which is also true. But let me tell you, the reason I can confidently say that is I took time to actually build myself. Like I took time. And when you do that, there is nothing in the world. Nothing. The only thing that can do it if you now also start listening to stupid things. But otherwise, the government and all its troops cannot stop me from prospering. Because it is inside here. They have no control over what's inside here. Praise the Lord. Now, if I wake up in the morning and I read a word which is in line with what I want, I don't let go of that word. I keep it inside me and go the whole day thinking about it. Sometimes even repeating it, saying it again. And I've told you that I've done this before. I even used to write it down and so on. And then you go and repeat that word, say it until your soul actually feeds on it and believes it. And then, usually I would even look for a song which is along those lines. Okay? So if I'm looking for a blessing and I have a word of blessing, I'll look for a song which is along those lines. And then I force my soul to sing that. I remember there would be a time when I would be jogging. Then I'm jogging, then I hear a song. My there is a song inside my spirit. You know that, eh? You know there is a song in you every time, eh? One way or the other. Now, then I hear another song which I used to like, eh? But which does not, eh? And which has a nice beat. You know those, whatever. So now somehow, you find you go down the road and you find yourself, now it has replaced what was inside what? Now you're singing that fake song. And now the thing is, like I'm not even saying that fake song, like, you know, they are not, but the point is, if I am determined I want to sing this song, I'll sing it. And then it will sometimes go away because it has been replaced by another song. And those days I would even be in a taxi. So you enter a taxi and they are playing a certain other song. Then now, like, okay, myself, I have an active mind. So even when I would enter the taxi and they have put CBS and they are talking about something, I would get passionate about something and say, but that man is stupid. Eh? Now what is that rubbish he's saying? Now I entered with my meditation and now, gone in a second. Now I'm already striving over words to no profit. You understand? And then you strive. Now, if you're not careful, you strive on those words the whole day. And just because you entered a taxi in the morning, early in the morning, and they were putting that. So, I realized it is so easy for somebody to strive over words to no profit. So I said, I'm going to fight to make sure that I strive over words to profit. You get a word, you forget it after 3 minutes. Eh? Then you remember, then you get back. You see, eh? It's not easy. It's not as easy as it sounds, yeah? Then it goes, then you bring it back. Then it goes, then you do other things, then you remember, hey, I'm supposed to be meditating on blessing. Then it comes back. Then you meditate for like 5 minutes, then it goes. Then it comes back. Now you're learning how to control your mind. Praise the Lord. And then you also control the song. Then the other thing, of course, is purpose, which I'm not going to get into. But I'm telling you this. You will only ever manifest to the extent of the word of God that you have in you. I can tell you so many things. I can tell you, for instance, that I ordered my wallet to have 5 million shillings and it came. It is to the extent. Now, you order it and see if it will come. It might. I wish it did. But the point is, it is to the extent that you have the word of God in you. Amen? That's why Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, eh? You will ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. Now, that is a big condition. Get me that scripture. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, that is a condition. Because when the words of God are completely abiding in you, like you ask whatever you want and it is given to you immediately. Everything is based on the amount of God's word that you have inside you. Even the speed of you getting the answers to your prayer. Somebody will pray in the morning and by evening he has the answer. because it's full of the word. Now, another one will ask for something in the morning and takes 6 months. Now, if he continues keeping himself within the word, 6 months will become to 1 month and eventually 1 week and eventually instant. Now, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done for you. Now, imagine such a promise. Whatever you will, not what you want, what you will, anything you desire, just have my words in you. Now, this is the basis of the soul prospering. You have God's words in you. Now, some people think that you're going to come and get a word here, maybe go on Tuesday. It's not enough. You have to have a word every day. And even those words which are spoken in those platforms, you have to keep them within yourself, which is a very big effort, by the way. But it is the only thing that is a guarantee that you will never fail. The only thing that is a guarantee that you will never fail. The only guarantee that you will never fail is if his words abide in you and you abide in you, and his words abide. That is the only guarantee in the whole world that you cannot fail. And now, it requires an effort. Don't you think that it is the easiest thing? I'm trying to communicate that to you. But if you're determined to make sure that you do not have one big miracle today, then another one down, then big up, then the other down, down, then you just have to do what I'm telling you. Because that's a guarantee. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. It says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, thy servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it, from the right to the left, that thou may prosper wherever you go." Okay? Go to verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe." Now, I want you to see the tenses here. You know this scripture. But he says, "It shall not depart out of your mouth, and you meditate on it day and night." Then he says, "That you may do." Now, you will not do if it only visits your mind. If something is full in your mind, the doing is automatic. Amen? Now, he says, "Meditate therein day and night." That, not "and," you do. No, he says that. If you meditate, you'll do it. There is nothing you meditate on that you'll not eventually do. Nothing. So he says, don't worry about the doing. Just worry about having it before you. He says, put it on your doorposts. Put it on your fridge. I'm, of course, paraphrasing. Put it on your fridge, what? Put it on what? And now, put it there. And make sure it is in your mouth every time. Then he says, that, I might as well add, so that you may observe to do. Meditate therein day and night, so that you may observe to do according to what is written therein. Now, the only way you can be sure you will do what is written is by actually thinking on it every time. Every time, it's what you're thinking about. That is a law you cannot change. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks. And what the mouth speaks, eventually you will do. So, now you don't try to circumvent spiritual laws. Now, that's what it says. That, so that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, you shall make your way prosperous. And then, you shall have good success. Now, I want you to see this. And then, if you do the words of this law, then God will make your way prosperous. Is that what he says? It is you. He says, even in the Old Testament, he says, you just meditate on these things and let them be before you. Then you will make your way prosperous. Just by having them there. That's all it takes. Then he says, you will be prosperous and you'll have good success. Guarantee. But he did not say that if you keep these things, then I will make you prosperous. It has nothing to do with him. For him, he gives the word. That's all he gives. Now, the word is a seed. What you do with the seed is what determines. Now, all of you are getting a seed here today. Some will plant it and water it and nurture it and we'll see results. Others, by the time they leave here and take a cup of coffee, they will have forgotten. Okay? But the word is a seed. Now, who will have made the other one successful and this one's not successful? They themselves. So God does not put it in his... Now, you have to know that there are things which God puts in his control, even in the Old Testament. And there are things which he does not put in his control. It is in your control. And it's up to you. Where he says that your soul may prosper, that is up to you. Now, that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. The prosperity of your soul is your business, not... And I said, for then you shall make your way. Now imagine, for then you shall make your way successful. You, not God, you. But he told you how to make it successful. Go to Psalms 1. He says, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Okay? But his delight is in the law of God, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, I want you to see this. Whatsoever, I want to do farming, prosper. I want to do business, prosper. Like, you just have to have the word. When you have it there, whatsoever he does will prosper. Now, it is not up to God. Now, the problem is so many people here think that there is something God still has to do in your life. There is nothing. Everything is you. Now, when you learn that, you know that if it was up to God, would all be very prosperous, very blessed. It is not. Praise the Lord. It is up to us. In everything that he gives in form of a promise and a word. He says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. That means there are no high seasons, low seasons. The tree for it, it has what? Water all the time. And brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does will prosper. Now, do you know there are people who are so full of the word of God that even when they go outside of the will of God, they prosper a bit. But they are doing dead works. Dead works is anything you do outside of the will of God. But because you have entered the area of whatsoever you do prospers, you'll even say, I don't want to be the watchman, let me enter business. And guess what will happen? Because you are filled with the word, yet actually you are missing on your reward in heaven. Because maybe you're not supposed to do business. But because you're here, you're full of the word, whatsoever you do prospers. Then you say, I'm tired of being watchman. Let me go and import cars. Prosper. Let me go and do farming. Prosper. Let anything, whatsoever. Even it might not be the will of God. And I'm not going to do it because of that reason. But my point is, whatsoever he does what? Prospers. Now that is really up to you. Who makes you sit where you sit? Go back to verse 1. He says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Who makes you walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Now, that doesn't mean not walking with ungodly people, but who the counsel of the ungodly? Sometimes the counsel of the ungodly is in churches. Churches, that's where people can really give you stupid counsel. Then you wonder why Muslims prosper more than what? Like, you go and talk to some of those people and see. You look at somebody who is a pastor and you talk to him just a few minutes, eh? And you see poverty spitting out of him. And now, that wouldn't be a problem. The problem is, he does not want to learn. If you dare tell him anything, you say, if you tell him something new which he doesn't already know, you will solve Nabi Wabudimba. Like, they are unteachable. Unteachable. And yet they are teachers. They stopped learning long time ago. And they never stopped to wonder why they are in a certain way. Then they go and cry to God. Mukama, sumulula sente. There is nothing God is going to do. Absolutely nothing. When God sent Jesus and Jesus said it is finished, he put everything in manifestation in your hands. Amen? If you know the authority of a believer, if you know how you can, everything is in your hands. There is nothing that he still has to do. Nothing. Apart from the redemption of our bodies when Jesus Christ comes on the rapture. That's it. But as far as God is concerned, everything was done in Jesus Christ. Now, the whole power to make that manifest is in you. And it is in your spirit. It is your responsibility to move it from your spirit to your soul, where actually at every one time you are mulling over something powerful in your mind. Every one time something big is going on in your head. And you're thinking about, now, I remember this, Jesse Duplantis said that one day he was driving in a car, he had an old Toyota. Do you know the way those Americans despise Toyotas? They talk about them as if they I don't know what. When an American says somebody is driving a Toyota, you know that is like just poverty anointing. I know they have a bias against them. So he says he was driving an old Toyota, and then he was with a fellow pastor. When they were driving, a plane passed. So he told the pastor that, hey, do you know what the Lord has just spoken to me? Guy says, what? He says that God has just told me that he's going to give me my own plane at some stage. And the pastor looked at him and said, but you mad? You can't even get a decent car. And you're talking about what? Plane. Now that is the counsel of the ungodly. You understand? Because when somebody says that, it means that he has not believed, first of all, that God is the one who spoke to you. But even if he had, he doesn't believe that God is capable of doing powerful things. That is the counsel of the ungodly. You've had those people, eh? Yeah. You think of buying a house, yet you're even staying in the house of Kazigov. How much? Let me tell you, God works by giving you something to see ahead. He never deals with what you have now. You understand? Now, the reason God will tell Jesse to plant is that, and yet it is so many years ahead, is so that he can receive it and think about it and meditate on it, and then he brings it to pass. You understand? Everything he does, there is nothing, absolutely nothing that God does. Even Old Testament, New Testament, nothing. He first gives you a word. That you see the stars, so shall your descendants be. You say, I don't even have one child, my descendants. He says, you think about that. So shall you make your descendants be. You understand? Now, he always deals in the future because he wants you to get it, think about it, meditate on it, and you're bringing it to pass. Then you're actually building it, building it, building it. Now, then Jesse Duplantis said, because he said that recently, he said that now, sometimes that pastor tells him, that are you going in this direction, and who can lift on your plate? He says, no, it tells him, I cannot carry him on my plate because he has Jisirani. Okay, he did say that. He said that people who are like that, you don't even take them because they are faith killers. You understand? They are dream killers. God, like when you are in a certain place and God tells you something, just, and even, okay, God telling you that's one thing, but you even conceiving it inside you. That's enough. Just think on it, build on it. It gives birth. Now, you're actually feeding your soul. When you have an old Toyota, now, of course, in your case, it might mean even no Toyota. But you're thinking about a plane. Eh? Do you know what you're doing to your soul? Like, you're expanding your soul, feeding it. Because imagine what it takes to have a private jet and you're there thinking about it. Like, your soul is growing bigger, bigger, bigger. Then the next thing you realize, that if you were staying in a house of $500,000, you have no problem staying in a house of $2,000. And you don't know where it came from. It came from thinking about a plane. You see, eh? That's why sometimes we told people here to pray for the nation. You remember in our overnights? Eh? Because I know that when you pray for something small, when you tell them pray for your personal needs, they become very small. Because the needs are very, very small. And God does not say, like, let me tell you, God is not going to change because of you. Eh? First, settle that in your mind. Eh? He said in his word, he does not change. So, you can cry to him. He's not going to change. He looks at you and says, now look at this one. Psalms 107, verse 20, says, he sent his word and healed them. Praise the Lord. And delivered them from what? From their destructions. Now, he just sent the word, and that's all. How you respond to the word is up to you. Imagine somebody comes and says there is famine in Uganda, then rain comes. Then you say, now I've given you seed. Go and plant. Then the person says, but man, we are hungry. Then God says, man, go and plant. Now, the reason people do that is because they think they can twist God's arm into doing something different. He can't. And then, because they want instant answers. Now, the things I'm telling you, those things which I've told you there of making sure I'm, like I have a word which, those things, it took me like 2 years before I started seeing any benefit. It might not take you that long. I hope it doesn't. Eh? But it took me first of all, being convinced that the basis of everything, God gave me his word. He gave me his promises. He's faithful. He cannot fail, and he cannot be unfaithful. So the only thing that matters is me. Then I remember, I would ask myself, God, I am paying my tithe and what, and so on. Why am I not seeing results? Now, that wasn't just like a one-off question. That was me actually striving over the fact that, but I'm doing my tithe, I'm giving offerings, why am I not seeing results? Then it stayed in me. What's the past tense of strive? Strove. Not strived. Over that question, why is it not happening? And then he gave me an answer over a period of time, pulled out like this. He gave me an answer. And that answer was so powerful. It what actually turned me from here to here. But in that time when you're actually striving, you're feeding your soul with the word of God, feeding it because you're trying to remember, is there a scripture which can explain my predicament? How come I am not seeing what I, you know? So you mule through all the scriptures, you know, is there something that I need to know? And now meanwhile, that's what you, your mind, your soul, is being exercised in the word of God. You understand? That is powerful. Because even when you get your answer, you will get more than your answer. Your soul has expanded in the time that what? You were trying to get an answer. And when your soul expands, there is nothing which will stop you from expanding. Praise the Lord. You will prosper and be in good health even as what? Even as your soul prospers. Very, very powerful words, but very simple. He sent his word. That's what. He sent his word. In the Old Testament, he just gave a word through a prophet. In the New Testament, he still does that. But in the New Testament, he sent the word himself, Jesus, and healed them and delivered them for all their destructions. So now people cry to God and they are wasting time. Some of them are total ignorance. They think there is still anything that God has to do. And some of you even still pray like that. Of course, you can pray for, there are things like you can pray for, you know, like if I'm praying for the nation and so on. But in my own personal life, somebody who is born again, who is under a covenant, there is nothing chemanja katonda. Everything is in the word. I just have to get the word which speaks about it, and I eat it, and it will manifest. Automatically, it will manifest. Praise the Lord. Now, when you start understanding that the word is a seed, and what you do with that seed is what determines everything that comes to you, then it will change your life completely, by the way. It will change your life. Now, the thing is, I'm grateful that when I got born again, the first people I met were Kenneth Hagin, and these are the things they would teach. The finished work of the cross, everything is finished. And so they teach that if it is not happening, ask God why. I read your word, and it says this, and I did it. Why is it not happening? Tell me why. Now, when you ask like that, he will always answer you. Because you're not asking for man belief. You know his word is true, and you know it cannot fail, and you know he's faithful. But you know there's some information I don't know. This is why it's not working for me. So God, give me this information. What don't I know? What am I not doing right? And then he will give you that. So you ask from a place of knowing that everything you ever will need was finished on the cross. Everything you will ever need. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, now, that includes salvation, blessing. There is nothing. Jesus' atonement covers everything. Okay? Now, if somebody came and said that we are praying, God, please save me, I want to be saved, you would think the person is mad. Isn't it? Isn't it? It's the same as saying, God, bless me. You also what? Mad. Mental health. I'm telling you. Because you are making his word of no effect. He says, blessed be the God and Father of all Jesus, who has blessed us. Okay, now you're saying, God bless me. Bless you how? Is he going to send Jesus again? Now you see, the way people receive salvation, because they have the faith for it. Of course, that's an easier thing. But say, Jesus did what? What? Okay. I got a question. Now people have faith for it. When they come and receive, it is done. Like, you know, it is already done and they receive it and that's it. Now, the same atonement covers your blessing, covers your healing, covers it. There is no different atonement. It's the same package. Even somebody who gets saved, you know, people underestimate this. Even somebody who gets saved, they have to have been exposed to the word and understood that they need Jesus. You understand that? Eh? So by the time they come and receive Jesus, they have been put in a place of, we need him. Now, you have to just build yourself to a place of where you have faith to receive the blessing of God that transforms, so that we don't see you beginning of year, you're the same, end of year, you're the same problems that you had beginning of year, the same problems you have end of year, and those things which where you like you're moving but you're not moving. You see, eh? Where I remember one time I had a dream like that. It was a big tailor, eh? Because in the dream I was driving a scooter. Eh? You know those old bikes which they used to use for boda-boda before they got these powerful ones, eh? Those old ones. So I was riding it. Then I reached a certain place and there were thieves. And I remember it was night. So I saw these thieves coming. So I said, this guy is joking. He's not good. So I, yeah. But like, then the thing was, but was not going. It was making a lot of sound, but wasn't moving. Then the guy came walking like this next to me. And then I was saying, the thief was making a lot of sound, but wasn't moving. Then the thief I was running away from did not even need to run. He just had to walk, and he was at the same level with what? With my bike. Then I woke up. Then I realized that I'm not moving. You see, like you have a semblance of moving. Yeah, and you move from here, then one year you move there. Like small, small things, very, very small increments, which do not bring forth what God is planning to do in this end time, like the magnitude of what God is planning to do. Then, of course, there was a reason. The thief represented what? Represented, of course, the devil. You know who the thief is. I won't tell you the background behind the dream, but it was that. Then, there's another time, you know, dreams can demonstrate things. There's a time I remember I was in Imbarara. Then I went to board the bus. Then they told me the bus is not, is leaving like in 2 hours. Then I was like, this is also relevant to what I'm telling you here. There are 2 hours. Man, I don't have time to wait. What? This bus? What? I said, let me walk. So I started walking from Imbarara to Kampala. Then I remember, like, I hadn't gone too far. Then I saw the bus coming. Then I stood to stop it. It just passed. See, and left me in dust. And then the Lord was saying, like, you know, sometimes when you're in this journey of actually putting the word of God in, you can get impatient. I'm not seeing results. I was planning to do certain things. And then the Lord showed me, like, Kakana, you wait for the bus. When you get to the bus, it will take you very fast. You see, But you have to wait for it. Now, I had to wait for the word to get inside me. And when it did, it took me, you know, at a fairly faster speed. But because I was impatient, I said, this bus is taking. So I imagine I was walking for. I remember I just made a turn like this, and then I saw the bus coming. And like that was it. Then you wake up, and no dramatic dreams can be. So you just sit and say, okay, let me take my time. When the bus goes, it goes. Because I could have been in the bus and I would be. And then I remember I tried to say, now, how am I going to reach Kampala? I'm too. Then I wake up in that what? In that confusion. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So now, the reason people have problems is because they think this takes too long. It doesn't. You have so many years to live. It doesn't. And the thing about it is, if you knew, it is permanent. You know, some people think that when the Bible says, renew your mind, do not be conformed to this world. Very powerful words. Because the world... The question I was asked, they were asked me about the Muslims. The Muslims, for them, they are in the world. They know its system. They know how it works. They know what. Now, the believers have a semblance of faith, which is not faith, which is actually presumption. Okay? Now, faith is a tangible thing, and it comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Amen? Now, you can actually get in real faith where you know something, even if it's not there, you actually know it, and now you cannot become, now that you are in faith. But, barokola in between. And Jesus said, I would wish you were either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to do what? Spit you out. Now, people who actually go by the worldly system purely, they will get a blessing. Then those, not a blessing, but okay. You know, Kakarukana and get what? Some results. Now, those who actually go by the blessing have to understand how the blessing works. Now, when you understand properly how it works, and that you never get anything that is bigger than the word you have inside you, the word levels you have inside you, then you'll master this, the way those people master their thing. You'll master this, master it, then you'll overtake them, see? And that question will no longer be relevant at some stage. By the way, even sowing, people sow and do not receive because they do not know how to sow, because they don't have the word in them. You know, some people, they want methodology. There's somebody I know who got like tens of thousands of dollars. And because the person used to be with me, and they say that now let me go and give this seed. And I overtake him later. He ended up in brokenness. He ended up in what? Brokenness. I said, I wish he had just asked me for advice. But see, when people start becoming competitive, they miss out on so many things. Praise the Lord. And there are so many people who had problems because they got excited and did certain things when they did not have the foundation of the word in them. So you hear, somebody sold his car and sold the money, and then he got a much better car. It all comes from how much word he has in them. You'll sell yours and you'll walk for 2 years. I'm telling you. So if you don't have the faith for it, now, how do you get the faith? You get the faith by listening to the word. It says here, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Think about this. As the rain comes and waters the soil and makes it give. You know, if you put a seed in the soil, when it is dry, it will not bring forth, isn't it? Then he says that the rain comes and it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now I want you to see what he's saying. He's saying rain watering the ground is like his word watering your soul or your heart. Okay? And now when it waters, then when you sow, when your ground is soft, you get instant result. How do you soften your ground? By the word. Why do people sow and they don't get anything? Because they are trying to get methodologies that go outside of the word. You are wasting your time. The only thing that is going to actually, and now this does not just mean logos word. It also means rhema word. Amen? Like prophetic words and so on, which you get and you actually make them count. It says, it shall not go back void and shall prosper in the way for which I sent it. Now, when this person went and sold his dollars, he did have the faith. Praise the Lord. If he had first worked on the ground and first got the word and chewed it, man, you can sow that and you never look back. But sometimes the ground also goes like you. You understand? There's a time I sold my car and sold it. Okay, I sold it in fake ground, but I went 2 years without a car. So I know what I'm talking about. And if you want to know misery, is when you've been driving for 10 years, 12 years, and you go 2 years without a car, you feel like the world has collapsed on you. If you've never driven a car, it's different. Because I remember before I had a car, I would jump on a taxi and go everywhere. I would even go out, even take girls out in a taxi. But you try doing that when you've had a car. Man, it is misery. You even end up just staying home. Like, because you stand and think now, how am I going to get to this place? So you might use Boda B, but then you're not going to be dating somebody. What? Especially these ladies of ours who have kajaja. Praise the Lord. Now, so I know what I'm doing. Now, I did it. First of all, I didn't even have the faith for it. I just got excited. Let me read one scripture here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 4. Start from verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and you shall find it after many days. Of course, he's talking about sowing. Give a portion to the 7 and also to the 8, for you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. Okay? He says, this is the one I wanted. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls towards the south or towards the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall be. Now, I'll tell you this. You can look at these clouds in many ways. It can be the word. Like when it is full, it will pour rain. And when a tree falls, it falls there. It falls on you and that's it. Your life changes. Of course, I'm not talking about the Atari Woga Taguiro Amuti. But I suspect they might have gotten it from where? From the Bible. So you'll be there when the tree falls and it falls there. Now, when the cloud is full, it has to empty. Now, there are things which you do behind the scenes, like staying in the word every night. The clouds are getting fuller and fuller. When they empty, they will empty. And somebody will look at you and you're different. Praise the Lord. That is the reality. A time comes when the clouds empty and now there is nothing that can stop them. If somebody thinks that there's something they can alter, they don't know what you've been doing behind the scenes. And now the rain is pouring. And it is pouring nonstop. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, one of the biggest problems we've had is this gospel of breakthrough. Amen? Breakthrough gospel. Today I was, tomorrow I became what? A billionaire. Now, God can pick somebody out of nowhere and take them anywhere. You understand? But he has to first give you the word. Then you first eat it. Then that word is what gives what? So he can find you when you are nothing, nobody. And he gives you a very powerful word. And now that is the seed that is going to give birth to what he's saying. Now you can decide to say, sure, I am asking. There's a guy who I remember who told me one day, he was praying for, unfortunately, this man did not take the seed properly because it turned out in a very, very different way. But he told me himself that he was having serious problems with rent. Now, this is how God works. The guy was struggling to pay rent, you know, landlord is all over your case and so on. Then he had a dream. He prayed about it, God, rent. Then he had a dream when there was a lane, you know, those lanes which they call something over close, over road or what? Like Stanley Bemba, something like that. Now, the road had these two names on it. And there were very beautiful houses and all of them were his. And he was called, let's say, let me just use Roger Kadu Road. Now imagine you're asking for rent and God shows you beautiful houses one way or the other. Then you, in the dream, you see the road is named after you. Now, what is he trying to do? He's trying to expand your soul. Like, okay, I'm giving you rent. Maybe next month. But now, can we start thinking bigger than rent? Now, he has sent you a rope which is going to pull you up. If you don't receive that rope and start going up, you remain there. And that's exactly what happened to that guy. He even went from there to even worse. His things became worse. The last time I had something terrible had happened to me, which I can't even say here. Because it will make you kuawala matu, eh? Anyway, they told me the guy became a Muslim. I said, what? Apparently, he got a Muslim babe who had a lot of money. And he showed him the light. But now, let me tell you, if you don't understand the way God works, you will wake up from that dream when you're so angry. Because I want rent. Why are you showing me all these houses? Now you've missed the flight. The flight has just left you, see? If you had just jumped on that and gone, you would find the rent becoming a small issue, then it is solved. Then now you start actually dreaming big things. Amen? But you see now, there is this gospel breakthrough. Nafunye breakthrough. Now, there are people who I knew who came with stories. There was some guy who came with a story saying that he used to be broke, pastor. He used to be, I almost said man of God, but I think pastor is safer. It's pastor. Because sometimes you don't know who a man of who is he. Anyway. But he's a pastor. Pastor. Now, he went somewhere abroad. Then came back when things were what? Rosy, powerful, what? Even bought a very powerful ML. For some reason, those days, that was like such a big deal. I remember the days of hammers. There was a day when everybody arrived. Had to drive what? A hammer. Very ugly cars, but you know. Praise the Lord. So now, the guy came with a story. That Nasavido or somebody was dying of what? Then they gave me $500,000. Then over what? My God. Breakthrough. Then people go and say, Mzumba Gundi Afunye breakthrough. And then people are going to die all their lives waiting for that breakthrough. Then I found out later the man had just joined Bisiaga and was sending tapes. Like, don't listen. Even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul does what? That is it. Even as. You know what even as means? At the same rate that your soul prospers, you prosper and be in good health. The same rate. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the corn. That's very, very powerful thing. Now, there is no place for breakthrough there. You go to Mark 4 and show me that scripture. Eh? There is no place for breakthrough that somebody today had nothing. There is a difference. Because even when it starts raining, it starts drizzling when it's going to rain, isn't it? Yeah, but now the clouds are full and it's eventually going to rain, but it starts with a drizzle. Then it goes, then what? Then now it starts chibuyaga. You understand? Eh? Eh, you can't be there and say, ah, chibuyaga. No. Everything comes in whatever. So now you have to, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. Now, this is Jesus describing the kingdom of God. This is the one parable which I read and it completely transformed me. Completely transformed me. The sower sows the word goes inside, some goes into the bad ground, others goes into what? Then others go 60-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Okay? Then he says, for he who sows does not know how the earth brings forth. You have no idea how your one maize grows into and becomes cobs of maize. You have no idea. That system is beyond you. Even the system of what how the word of God gives back, it's beyond you. But he just told you put it there. Now that's the seed. Now, he says, and the earth brings forth fruit according to its own principle, which was set there by God. Then he says, first the blade, then the ear, then afterwards the full one. In other words, it grows. Amen? Now, that scripture, when the Lord showed it to me, the kingdom of God, of course you know it, but you don't know it with the revelation the way he showed it to me. He said, the kingdom of God is as... Then I said, okay. Then when he showed me, like Jesus explaining, here is how I would summarize the kingdom of God. A man goes out to sow seed. Like that is it. That is Jesus summarizing the kingdom of God. Like a man goes out to sow seed. Now, eventually they ask him, he says, the seed is the word. Praise the Lord. Now that word will bring forth fruit. First the ear, then it is the only guaranteed way. Guaranteed. You wait for breakthroughs. You wait 50 years for breakthroughs. I'll tell you, people who are waiting for breakthroughs when I started doing these principles are still waiting for breakthroughs. I know some of them, so many of them are still waiting for breakthroughs. Now for me, because I didn't have a car, I didn't even have any money, so I couldn't even go among my former friends because I would be ashamed. The only thing I would do is stay home and read the word. And then it becomes dark, and then it becomes morning. And man, there's nothing that depresses me like staying home the whole day from morning to evening. Like it really messes me up. Eh? Sometimes I just get out to just drive like this, then go back. Because like just stay home, except unless it's like one day in like a long day. But imagine, like, you know, maybe it's I just have itch, whatever. You wake up in the morning, eh? Then you stay, woo, then it becomes dark. Then you sleep. Then you, man. I would even get out sometimes at 10 just to walk somewhere. 10 p.m. So that it's like, so my point is, I would be the whole day home. Home. The whole day. Just reading the Bible. Writing my book, Strength of Character, doing what? Which of course is full of scriptures. So I was feeding my mind with a lot of scriptures. Just basically just in there. Then sometimes in the evening, somebody would call me and say, man, come and we have what? A cup of coffee. And I say, hey, as long as you're buying. Then they would say, yes, we are going to buy. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm talking about. And then I say, now because people who knew me in a different category. Even that changing my mindset from the old category. Because there was a time I knew everything I wanted. I want this. I know somebody there. I know somebody here. If somebody, what? There are times people would call me when they are in trouble with the police and I call somebody and they are released. What? Now, I can tell you one thing for sure. I don't know anybody anywhere. Amen? Do you know, it took me a lot of time to give up that. Change my... That's what they call transformed, transforming your mind. To that, I can't get anything. Eh? There's a time I was going to Nairobi in the late night flight. So for some reason, I had my things. I wanted first to go to the gym and then to the sauna and what. So I had my bag, but I put my things in a laptop bag. So then I parked somewhere and went inside the gym and all that. In town, I came when they had broken into the car and taken everything, including my passport. So the first thing I did is in the early in the morning, I didn't have a passport. I told them to change my flight to Nairobi from the late night to 3 p.m., 3 something p.m., which means I had to be at the airport maybe somewhere about 1 and 1:30 maybe. And I changed my flight. Then in the morning, I went to get a new passport. I knew what it took. I had to go and get a letter from police. What? So I went to CPS, told them I lost my passport, gave the guy 20K. He wrote for me a letter, no problem. Then I went. When passport office opened, you know, government offices, that time, I was there. Then I said, I'm going to Nairobi this afternoon. I want a passport. I kid you not, by 11:30, I had the passport because I knew people. And there are so many people for whom I got a passport. There's a guy whom I got a passport. He looked like a Mnyarwanda, but he's a Ugandan for me. They refused to give me. I went there. The guy told me, he was my mechanic. The guy told me that I got the passport all through until they printed it. Then when he came to pick the passport, they looked at him and said, we're together with a passport. The guy really looked like a Mnyarwanda. Okay, I think his origin is there, but he's somebody who has grown up here, somewhere on Hoima Road. So I went there. The guy told me, passport, baganyo jimpa. I said, they have printed it. He said, baganyo jimpa. So I went and showed up in that place. And I said, you guys, give this guy his passport. Then under duress, they gave him the passport. The guy signed it. Then he told me that, the truth is I was never going to get it if it wasn't for you. Now, the other day when I wanted the passport, I have to use somebody. I no longer know anybody. I just know the Spirit of God. The other day I had to use somebody. To get what? To get a... And then the person also decided to go and get me a diplomatic passport. And then they even refused to give me. Okay, but this country... They said, what? How can we want? The whole place turned around. And they had actually even printed the thing. Until somebody saw it and said, what? Come later. Diplomatic. Oh, yeah, no. They even called a press conference to say not everybody can get a diplomatic. I said, it's okay, you give me an ordinary passport. After all, it's just a matter of time before I what? So if you want a diplomatic passport, talk to me nicely. Praise the Lord. But my point is, do you know what it took, honestly, for me to come from the other place where I know somebody? There's time a friend of mine called me when they had locked him up in police. He was a mufere, but he was a pastor. So the guy called me and told me, man, they have locked me up here at CPS. So I told them, you tell them not to put you inside the cell. Now they thought that I was coming with money. And you know those policemen, the way they are. So I arrived there, and they say that, so this man of yours, what? I said, but this is a civil matter. It has no business in police. Why don't they go to court if it's what? The policeman said, this man is joking. Waited for you, think you are saying serious things, and you come with that rubbish. So they told the guy, take off your shoes. Now what I did, I got on the phone and called DPC of Kampala Extra. I called him and said, this is Kableta. There's somebody of my dear, what? He said, hey, okay, where are you? I said, I'm at CPS. Then he said that, hold on, let me call you back. Then he hung up and called the OCCID of CPS and told him that you released that guy. Then he told me the guy, he's standing outside CPS, he's dressed like this. He had asked him, where are you? How are you dressed? Then he called me back and said, he's dressed like this. Go and talk to him. Then when I went and talked to him, the guy said, hey, you're the man, eh? Okay. So they released the guy. Eh? Now the other policemen were, because they were angry. But the order had come from above. Eh? Now, when you have lived a life like that, now you, police, like I don't know anybody. Nobody. Like, I would have to call somebody if I needed any help. Okay? But of course I don't. The point is, I had to give all that up. You know what Paul says that, whatsoever things were benefit to me, I counted them as rubbish. I gave all that up. I said, let me just pursue God. That is the only advantage, that anything that I want, I will find in God. Praise the Lord. If I'd stayed holding on to that, I would have stayed with that. But now for me to concentrate and say that this is my life, this is everything I need, this is everything I want, I'm going to get through this thing until it gives birth. I had to give up everything else and now say, this is all I have. And then when I did that, it actually started giving birth. Mpola, 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 mpola. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't need to know anybody in police. Most of them know me anyway. Now the tables have turned. Those days I would pride in me knowing them. But now they what? They know me. The other day when God was teaching me something about when I was writing the book on character. So one day I was going to preach somewhere. So I drove. So I reached those Vitaro of Ginger Road and the thing turned red when I said, "Are you joking?" Now there were traffic policemen all over the place. So the guy pursues me. With what? With a pitch. Then I knew I couldn't handle because I was driving a very old car. So I just reached somewhere. The guy even stopped at a distance and said, "You come. Why did you go through the red light?" So I told him, "I didn't." He said, "But you did." I said, "I didn't." So we went into an argument. And the guy was real Mayinja. I even still remember his name. He had like Onyotazi and what, but traffic, white. So we went into an argument. What a bitter argument. He said, "Okay, let's go to CPS. I said, "Let's go." Now, me know I'm going to preach. So I go and we get to CPS. Then the man reaches there and tells these junior officers that this gentleman here, I want to detain him because he's doing what? So I said, now this has become tight. Now the guy was serious. And now when he told these junior guys, the junior guys of course knew me and what, but he had given them an order and walked out and he was, you know, higher rank. So the guy said, "What did you do to the man?" I said, "The man is saying what?" He said, "Man, can't you?" So I could see they were very reluctant to lock me up. Anyway, to cut a long story short, the other Mayinja comes and says, "Hey, the man is still in his shoes. What are you guys waiting for?" Then they told him, "But I found the onotomo manyi musonyi we what?" He said, "I don't know him. Take off your shoes." So like, now I realized things are tight. Now where I was going to call, where I was going to preach and tell them I'm not what? I'm not coming. Then eventually, the guy said, "But Vafande, then he said, "Kableta, Mumanyi Burunji, like I even read all his columns in New Vision, like I like him so much, but I get a bubi." So the guy told me, "If you had spoken properly, I would not even have wasted your time." He said, "I know you very well. I listened to all your radio programs. What? They decided to tell me I'm even a Man U fan. What?" So now he started jazzing football. Then I learned a lesson. Then I arrived to preach when I was late. And then I was disorganized. And all I had to do was be a decent person. Strength of what? Oh, that's all I had to do. Like, and when the man started putting out all my things, he said, then said, "Atem kumanyi toyagala mani yo." So now, I said, now, imagine, just because of what? Now, I'd been studying those character things a long time, but you know, sometimes God puts you in a place of test to see if you're still in theory or if you have entered what? Practice. So that day I learned that because nobody wants to be disrespected. Now the man knew me so well and you could see he was even very happy to have met me. But I was rude. So he said, "Okay, if you decided to be rude, let's go all the way." Praise the Lord. Everyone will be tested. You don't just listen to it. Like it will be tested. Even character had to get tests. Where somebody does something and you would want everything and you wants to do something but you say, "I won't." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
That was The Watchman. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman. on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give, The Watchman Magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.